should send it. Now, by this time, we had already had the affidavit, you know, and knew that we would come to America. So we sent it down to California. We had paid California all, and we had arrived in New York, and we were for 2 years in New York, you know. Now, in the meantime, the furniture stayed here and accumulated the rent, you know,
storage fee.
And so we had to pay this when we were here. And the way we paid it was that we had in this left two pianos. And one was the piano of Eric's parents, Bechstein, and the other one was Eric's own piano that he had. There was a new firm, Schweighofer, which opened. I think the man was the first workman of Bösendorf. And he came to Eric and had him choose the most beautiful piano, which he thought was the most beautiful. And he wrote something into a booklet that he thought it was very beautiful. And for this, he gave it to him for half price. But still, for Eric and in his circumstances, it meant a lot of sweat and a lot of lessons and so on that he had to get until he had that. And so he was very fond, but we had to sell both of these pianos in order to pay for the storage and then to pay for, you know, settling. We found a little house that we could rent and settle and bring everything in and live, you know. And we sold quite a bit more of our belongings before, you know, everything was under the roof. And so we had to accept that contract, though it was a completely different. Now, the contract was in itself not so bad. It promised Eric $25 for a minute of music, which and Eric could make 10 minutes in 10 minutes of this kind of music, you know. And he was guaranteed 2 minutes per week. This gave us $50, you know, a week. Of course, there were so many taxes and things. And in the meantime, the war broke out. And so they didn't ask, but there was Dutch relief and Russian relief. And all our allies had some relief. And the studio took that off. And what we got, you know, was really very little. And of course, we needed a car because the studio would call, you know, sometimes at 9 o'clock, be there 9:20, and they never did anything in advance or let you know. It was always like this. It had to be very hectic, you know, either at midnight or, you know, like this, so that we were always in a state of hysterics, you know. They needed that, you know. And so it was absolutely necessary to have a car, so we got a second-hand Plymouth that promptly we got it, and the next time when we drove it stalled on the railroad tracks on Santa Monica Boulevard and was almost totally destroyed, you know, but anyway, all these little things happened, and so Eric thought it was pretty good contract, but it didn't turn out to be a good contract because he could not get enough work.
I see.
And it was like a very closed thing, you know. The people that were there were kind of like in a fear of him. And he was there a week when he called me and said, "You must come. I think I'm paranoid, but I think when I come, they all don't want to sit with me." And so I came for the next luncheon with him, and I saw that this was truly happening. He was sitting down, and the moment they got up and went somewhere else, and they didn't want to talk to him. And they treated him just abominably, really bad. And I have, years later, I've heard that one of the composers there, a man by the name of Franz Waxman, had gone to a soothsayer about 2 weeks before Eric came. you know. Oh. And you must only know when you knew Eric what a child he was, and a completely greenhorn, and mm-hmm. not having any scheming or anything uh-huh. in his nature whatsoever. And the soothsayer had said, be aware,